Grace to you in peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I have never liked the words, because I say so, as the explanation for having to do something. Although I have probably used those words on more than one occasion as a father speaking to one of my daughters. But I don't really like them when they're said to me. Perhaps you can relate. It's not that they aren't valid. They are. When someone who is in authority over us, a parent, a teacher, a commanding officer, a police officer, a judge, a boss, tells us to do something, we should do it simply because we are being told to do it. We shouldn't really need to know the reason why in order to be obedient. And we aren't really entitled to an explanation anyway. That's the nature of authority. Authority carries with it the power to make decisions and to direct activities without being answerable to those who are under that authority. And one of the true marks of submission to authority is the willingness to obey simply because the directive has been given. Even and especially in the absence of any explanation or justification as to why we're being told to do something. In relation to the one who is in authority over us, and saying to him or to her, because you say so, I will do it, is an expression of both faithful trust and submissive obedience. And such is what we see from Peter today in our gospel reading. Peter was a fisherman by trade. And if I had to guess, I'd be willing to bet that his dad was a fisherman too. Just like James and John, dad, his partners, their dad Zebedee, was a fisherman. You know, back in the day, in fact, throughout much of the world's history, sons often followed in the footsteps of their fathers. As James and John became fishermen because of their dad Zebedee, as Jesus became a carpenter because of his dad Joseph. And if this indeed was the case for Peter, the lesson calls him Simon, who we later know as Peter, and also for his brother Andrew, then not only was Peter a fisherman by trade, but he was also a fisherman by heritage and by lineage, which basically means that he grew up fishing. Probably from as early as he could tie a knot or clean a fish, his dad had him out there on the boat with him learning how to fish. So finally he was old enough to take over the family business. All of which should be convincing evidence that Peter knew the business and the craft of fishing quite well. He knew what time of day to fish. He knew where in the Sea of Galilee to fish. And he knew how to go about catching fish. And yet with all of that expertise and all of that experience, sometimes he still came back to shore after a hard day or a hard night's work, empty-handed. The story in our text today from Luke chapter 5 is one such occasion. Peter and Andrew and James and John and probably James and John's dad, Zebedee, had all spent the night fishing. They worked hard all night long, throwing out the nets, bringing them back in, throwing them out again. And finally, they were tired, called it quits, because they hadn't caught a thing. Fish just were nowhere to be found. But then Jesus, this carpenter, turned preacher and miracle worker, told Peter to go back out into the deep water for a catch. And of course, Peter didn't want to do it. First of all, he was tired. And I'd be willing to bet he was more than a little bit frustrated, having spent a fishless long night out on the lake. And probably also because, at least I know if this would have been me if I was Peter, what in the world does this carpenter, preacher, miracle worker know about fishing or about the Sea of Galilee? But, and here's where we get to the essence of the story. Peter said to Jesus, "Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And we all know the rest of the story. They caught so many fish that their nets began to break and their boats, that's plural, began to sink. And Peter learned a very important life-altering lesson that day. The only proper response to a command from our Lord Jesus is to obey. It's not to question. It's not to challenge. It's not to refute or to reject. For whatever Jesus commands us to do, he will bless. I know, believe me, I know. Sometimes where God calls us to go, or what God calls us to do, goes against our better judgment. I'm sure Abraham must have felt that tension. When God called him to pick up lock, stock, and barrel and move to a land that he would show him along the way. And Moses must have felt that way. When God told him to go to Pharaoh, who was probably the most powerful man in the world at that time, that he should go to Pharaoh and demand to release the Israelites. And Jonah must have felt that way when God commanded him to go and chastise a whole city, the city of Nineveh. And Noah almost certainly must have felt that way when God told him to build an ark on dry land. And finally, I believe Jesus understood that tension also. That night in the Garden of Gethsemane, the night before his death, as he prayed and he said, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." God's words and ways don't always make sense to us. But they are always meant to bring blessing to us. Now, that was true for Abraham and his descendants. and for Moses and the children of Israel, and for Jonah and the people of Nineveh, and for Noah and his family and the animals, and for Jesus and all of us also. Jesus did what God called him to do, even though it really didn't make any sense to him, simply because God said so. God's word and God's will was good enough to elicit obedience from all of these great ancestors of our faith, and even from our Lord Jesus, because they trusted in the goodness and in the wisdom of God. Simply because God said so, Jesus went to the cross, despite his reluctance to do so. And it was through his death and subsequent resurrection that God forgave us of our sins and gave to us the promise of everlasting life. You see, it's because of Peter's faithful obedience to Jesus that Peter and his fellow fishermen were blessed. And it's because of Jesus' faithful obedience to his Father, that Jesus and all of us have also been forever and eternally blessed. God's desire is always, always to bless us. That's why he works in all things for our good. And when you submit yourself to the will of God and you are obedient to the word of God, regardless if it makes any sense to you or not, but you do it simply because God says so, you will be blessed. Jesus himself said, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it." That was true for Abraham. It was true for Moses. It was true for Noah. It was true for Peter, who caught more fish than he could possibly imagine he would ever catch. It was true for Jesus, who gave up his life on a cross, but then who rose from the grave and who ascended to be with his heavenly Father. And it is and will be true for us also, as we submit ourselves to the word and the will of God. Obey him, even when you don't want to, even when it doesn't make any sense. Obey him, and you will be blessed. Because God says so, be reason enough to follow his commands. In the name of Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior.